Shannon, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good, good. Hi, everyone. I'd like to introduce you to Shannon Howd. Did I say that correctly, by the way?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, good, good. So Shannon runs a consultancy that helps innovators and change makers, especially in the social space. Maybe Shannon, you can add a little color to exactly what you do.
Okay, yes, I help to unleash the potential of social and environmental innovators to help shape and build and design scalable programs, products, services around the world so that we continue to save our communities and our planet as we continue to make profits within business. And I do that either through one-on-one coaching with leaders and innovators or through group and team facilitated workshops.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much. And just a couple of words about myself before we get started. So I'm Sugath Warnakula-Surya, ex-McKinsey. I've built a couple of companies. I'm a pretty active person in the startup space in the Silicon Valley. And today I do a lot of corporate innovation consulting with large clients, really teaching them how to operate like startups. So, okay. Very good. So good morning. Let's get started. I'm really fascinated by the area that we're going to talk about today, Shannon. So first, I'd love to kind of lay the groundwork by having you share what you think are the critical skills sets that people need, whether they're in a kind of innovative, small, young enterprise or trying to be a catalyst for change in a large enterprise. So what are the core skills, if you will?
That's a great question. We often go back to core skills, and I think oftentimes people don't understand what a skill is. So let me first start by saying when I talk about values, traits, and skills, right? So we need to make sure our values are aligned with the organization's values. The traits are kind of your approach to how you're delivering on the task at hand. So it's your style of working. But the skill is actually what you're doing. What is it that you're capable of achieving in context of a task or a key performance indicator or something quite measurable and tangible? And the traits and skills often get a little bit mixed up, but that's fine. I'm going to take you through three that I think are absolutely crucial. But in fact, I think they overlap between the word skill and measurable task with also your approach or your attitude towards your role or the task at hand. So as we all know, the world is moving so fast now. Technology, artificial intelligence, renewables, everything is just at a pace that we can hardly keep up with. And it makes kind of the future of what we need to be looking like as innovators, as change leaders, all a bit unpredictable. But we also thrive on that unpredictable nature as creative innovators. And so the question really is, what are the key skills that no matter what our future looks like, it's going to ensure your success? And I'd say that there's three skills or mindsets or traits that make us ready to lead scalable change into the future. The first one is empathy. The leaders and change makers that are the most successful anywhere in any company, whether they're an entrepreneur, they're sitting in a big corporation, or they're sitting in a small social enterprise, is empathy. And that's our ability to listen. We love to talk, we love to share our ideas, but if we can listen first and listen longer, we will be able to shape the change and create products and services that are going to be more relevant to our audiences. And empathy is being able to understand the audience, understand who you are selling what to, who are you creating this solution for, and driving your innovations around and through the lens of your audience, not your own lens, not your own perspective. So it's really coming at any problem or solution through the eyes of the audience. And the only way to do that is to listen, ask good questions, and try to wear the hat of that audience. So that's the first one. The second skill is co-creation, or being able to co-create. We use the word a lot, collaborate, but I think that's a little bit wishy-washy, a little soft. And the word to me, co-create, insinuates the ability to let others think that it was their idea. And by doing that, we will instill a culture or a team of people that feel engaged, enabled, empowered to come on the journey with us. The third is, and final, is a resilience to failure. Many of us have worked in change making and innovation and building new companies. All of us have had to face failure. And it's really the question of how do you respond to the fact that your idea might not make it, or that you might not get the buy-in you want for that idea to actually go to the R&D team or whatever. So it's a resilience, an ability to push through when an idea or a concept doesn't take off. And how do you come back from that? How do you then go back to the drawing board or push through another idea and just keep going? And if we look at the real true global, you know, innovators and change makers of our time, from the Steve Jobs to the Richard Bransons, they are unfazed by failure. And I know this gets overused a bit in the leadership space, the word failure, but it really is the ability to take no for an answer and move on to the next. So those would be my three: empathy, co-creation, and a resilience to failure.
Now, let me ask you, so there was kind of when you framed that, and I totally agree, you mentioned also alignment of values, right?
Yeah.
Let's say, I mean, I think realistically, most corporate innovators today, right, haven't completely aligned their personal values with the corporation, if you will. And in that misalignment or that gray area, how do you how do you suggest to innovators that they survive and thrive, right? Because today we are all intrinsically motivated if you're fundamentally an innovator, right? You have to have a huge purpose-driven kind of a need to do what you do. A lot of organizations are trying to get there, but they're not quite there yet. So in that uncertainty, how do you operate to your maximum?
So are you asking about the uncertainty of the alignment between the employee or innovator with the company's values?
That's correct.
Okay. I think the word uncertainty might not be the right word, though, just because we kind of know when we're not aligned, don't we? We know. We start to feel a little bit of friction, or we start to feel that we're not being enabled or appreciated, right? So let's assume we kind of know there's a misalignment. What do we do about that? Now, culture change, as you know, coming from McKinsey, is a huge piece of corporate work in and of itself in terms of corporate consulting. And I think you're not going to be able to change a corporate culture overnight. So the question is, as an innovator, is that your key area? Are you trying to push change within the organization around culture? Or are you doing something else? You're developing products or services or some other innovative idea, but you're in a corporate culture that doesn't quite feel aligned with you. I would say this is the most important element to being able to thrive in your career. If your company culture is not aligned with you in terms of core values, now that doesn't mean that everybody in the organization agrees with everything you say or that the CEO is on board with everything you want to do. I'm talking about values in terms of things like there is no bad idea. Put any idea out on the table and we'll look at it. Or failure is the most important thing for us, because if you're failing, it means you're constantly coming up with new ideas. Things like that are actually like a Google or an Amazon. You're going to see that the culture is aligned. It's a fast-paced, innovation-thriving organization that's top-down from the CEO that's setting a culture of innovation. Now, not all companies are going to have that, right? It's not going to be so obvious as some of the tech companies maybe put that forward. And you're still going to have misalignment within management. Maybe you have a manager that's not aligned with your values, but the company is, or you're going to have a team that's not aligned with your values, but the company is. So there's always potential for misalignment, even if the corporate values per se are aligned. So how do you navigate that is going to be actually really about those same skills to me. It's about being able to still engage others on their terms. So that's the empathy, being able to come at things with your ego in check and coming at things with the ability to push an idea forward through the lens of that of your audience, even if you might not actually agree. But the values alignment of you and the company, the ethos of that company, if it's not feeling right for you, whether that's the no idea is a bad idea, failure is welcome, you are not going to feel engaged and motivated, and your ideas and your ability to innovate and your sense of innovation is probably going to be dampened. And I think that's actually a death wish in terms of your own career development.
Very, very, very interesting. And thanks for that. Let's step back a little bit. So let's say that today you're a young professional, not yet in the workspace, in the workplace. How do you prepare to have these key critical skills, right? Around, comfort with uncertainty, being able to be experimental oriented, as opposed to fearing fear, all of the things that you mentioned, right? Co-creation, really being open, and so forth. What are the ways that young people can think about developing those skills? And more importantly, I want to also ask, if you're already in a large corporation, as most people are, right, and you're now trying to fundamentally shift towards a new set of behaviors, how do you change?
Okay, I think those might be two separate questions. I think if you're just starting off in your career, get the most amount of exposure to people, so a mentor, a boss, a colleague, it could even be outside of your day job in volunteering or pro bono work or sitting on an association or, joining specific networks. Most exposure that you possibly can to the people that you want to be when you grow up. So we learn the best from being exposed to others with similar mindsets and values. Now, it doesn't mean you don't want to also be exposed to people with a different mindset and different values, because that gives us that diversity and perspective. But if you could find a mentor or work for initially, the first few people that you work for are actually people that you really want to look like in 5 or 10 years, you will learn just by being on their team or serving them as a client or whatever it is. So I would just say surround yourself by people who you want to be when you grow up, basically. Now, developing skills, there's a lot of content out there in the market and psychological studies about this. You know, you have some innate skills that you're going to obviously be able to develop and others that you're going to maybe not be able to develop. But I do believe that you, through mentoring and coaching, internally within an organization, you can start to build these skills, the empathy, co-creation, resilience to failure, the comfort with uncertainty. But the best way to do that is to have the time to reflect on a weekly basis. And many of us are just on this path of, fast pace, right? And that's what we thrive in, and that's what gets us out of bed in the morning. But if we don't take the time out every week to reflect on what's worked and what hasn't worked, what skills were we using, what weren't we using, what did we like about what we saw others doing and what we didn't like, and have that time for reflection. And that could be a reflection in a coaching session. It could be having a lunch with a mentor. It could be meditating. There's lots of different ways to do formal reflection. But I think that's the most important thing, so you can see each week your progress towards becoming the person that you really want to be in the context of your work.